Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to read alongside the amazing Annie Kim. Thank you, Ron Mitchell and Southern Indiana Review. Beautiful here. I drove in from Missouri yesterday, so it's nice to be in Indiana. This is my first time. So I'm going to read a few poems from the book, and then I'm going to read a couple of new poems, and then Annie and I are going to do something a little different and read some poems together. So I will start with the title poem, Marvels of the Invisible. So my dad is a pathologist, and he had this old toy microscope. And so the title of the book and this poem comes from the pamphlet that was inside this toy microscope. And it says, with your new Microset Model 1, you will discover marvels of the invisible. Marvels of the invisible. The night I find my father's toy microscope in the hospital cold of the empty house, I dream of him, a boy in 1964. He crosses the yard, kneels beneath the sprawling live oak, and fills his specimen jar with fire ants. His father, in the garage, sings softly in German, mounting the head of a deer shot that winter. Its antlers blossom like capillaries. My father is 6 years old. The light spills in as he bends over the microscope and folds a single ant onto a plastic slide. The body, almost sickening in its translucence, curls into itself. The bright red thorax, close up, is butterscotch. Pressed beneath the plastic, the antenna shiver and are still. Half a century later, my mother's breasts are removed. In the waiting room, my father takes a pen from his white coat pocket and clicks open and clicks closed. When someone in the family asks a question, he takes a walk. I go with him and we wind through orange-tiled hallways. He shows me the room full of microscopes. I imagine his eye, how it descends like a dark blue planet, and his breath as it clouds the lens. He shows me the refrigerator where they keep the malignant tissue. He shows me the microtomes, the biopsy needles, the organ baths. In the recovery room, we listen as my mother's new systems of blood vessels shush through a speaker in the room. My father comes in quietly, places a white orchid beside her bed. The large white blossoms are hands cupping the empty air. Suspended there is everything that came before this. The day my parents met, the wedding, each of the three children so different from the others. His hands that know, like breathing, every inch of her. He matches his breath with hers, as they do each night, in the slow river of a breathing house, and beneath her skin, her blood blossoms. So, would everyone close their eyes? I'm going to tell you what this title is. Okay, and now press with your fingers against one of your eyeballs. This is so weird, I know. Do you see how it creates this like red orb when you do this? Okay, that's called phosphine, and that's where the title of this poem comes from. Phosphine. There is a way to see the other world. My father quarters the red potatoes, strips the husks from the corn like little dresses, extracting the shrimp from their shells, while I, on my back in the sun, press my finger against my eye, because when I do, globes appear over and over. Some are red, some are long dead stars. When a slit of sunlight rushes in, I shut tightly the doors and close my ears to stop the paddle of waves or somewhere a gull wrenching open a clam, the squeak of a crab's machine-like legs. And after the shrimp shells, my father plucks the legs in fingerfuls. He pushes my mother gently with the blunt of his hand on the small of her back from the kitchen. I orbit the low red sun, keep pressing and pressing. My father stirs each ingredient into the pot by a timer. By now, I know his knife is running along their backs, or he is washing the veins down the sink, or look, look at the sun on the bay, it's in flames. So this next poem is called Matryoshka, which, for those of you who don't know, it's the name for the Russian nesting dolls that stack into each other. Matryoshka. One. When you take away the children, the mother is empty. Her round head shrouded in red, her lips thick and pursed, her cheeks rouged with big circles of flush. And her eyes, she is keeping her inside secret. The Matryoshka's arms, creased with plumpness, hug a glossed rose, sprigs of cornflower and baby's breath. If you look closer, a thin line cuts the rose. This is where the mother is broken. Two. I have discovered the mother inside the mother. Her eyes are dark like mine. She doesn't want what is inside her. Her arms thin, her collar drab, her lashes straight. Her flower is not a rose. This mother fits better in my hand. When I pull her open, she creaks. Three. The last mother has no arms, no dress, no collar, but she is smiling. She breaks willingly. I twist her open and find myself. Each mother becomes my daughter, and I become each mother. I hold myself in my hand. This is my secret. I have seen how small I can be. I will put the wooden child back inside me, and the woman inside me, and the woman inside me, and the woman inside me. This next poem is called Narrative, and I was thinking about love and the way that when we're in love, we often tell different versions of the same story, right? You could call it alternate facts, perhaps. So it's really about that, like miscommunication and sort of dangerous relationships and how that can damage a relationship. Narrative. Because there is no principle of love, you and I ride horses to a curve in the lake. Because we are ever expanding cosmic bodies but do not understand physics, my horse will be named Dakota and yours Chip. And when he bends his head to drink, the forces of memory and dark energy erupt from the water like cattails. When we say love, we only know how for a few moments and keep insisting on different versions of the same story. Chaos, or better, the original emptiness, is always a constant. One horse bellows and the other answers with a clip of her shoe on a nearby stone. Because suffering is difficult to define, the lake is this blue only once. The horses toss the reins from their necks. They have been here a long time and know only the old ways. When we return home, we keep trying different ways to feel the same. And the old sun sets on the stables. The stable man lies down beside his wife. They hear hooves that kick against stable doors. She cannot sleep without that sound. Just a couple more. I am going to read two new poems now. I was just in Spain teaching study abroad, which was an amazing experience. It was also kind of a difficult time in my life. So this poem comes from that. It's called Eating Alone. Hija. The woman says, a massage, and her hands work my neck, my shoulders, my calves, my feet. I'm eating poke by the sea, salmon pink as tongue, watermelony cubes of tuna, mangoes slipping like gossip through my chopsticks. I've been alone so long, I'd welcome anyone's hands around my neck. For one, the man says, and sits me in the corner. Even the accordionist avoids my gaze. The gazpacho thickened with day-old baguette, a plate of the tiniest squares of cucumber, tomato, onion. I roll them like dice into the cold soup. The squid in my sandwich fall like ears across my plate, but I don't feel like talking. Amor de Amarillo, the bartender calls me. Does he mean yellow or gold? Does he mean amber? Does he mean I have value? I am not a lemon. I am not a canary, though I feel for my feathers, though I am often taken into dark caves. Is anyone waiting for me to stop singing? Is anyone waiting for me to rise up from the ground? I'm not gold. Maybe I am thickened resin. Here is my heart preserved. Here is myself made of tree. After I'm dead, you'll find I'm unexpectedly stuck here. At the Bar del Pla, I'm allowed a little seat, a little food. The couple next to me never stops kissing. I try the white wine with Bonito. I try the red thunder in a glass with the octopus bomb. Something ticks inside me. The girls at the next table keep looking and laughing. After you, everything tastes like a bruise. So I was telling Annie, I'm writing these epistles, like letter poems, and I'm inventing different hospitals for abstract things. Like, what if we had these particular hospitals for things that are complicated and can't really be cured? This one is dedicated to my friend Caitlin, and it's called Epistle from the Hospital for Cheaters. Epistle from the Hospital for Cheaters. What to do with all this flame but douse it with paper cups of red and yellow pills? What to do with the sun that licks its rose blaze across the tiled corners of this ward, with all these hours, with the burden of relief we're allowed to feel? We still breathe. We still walk the halls in our spoiled bodies. Once we made a promise in that world of papers and rings and aisles that meant cold prison cell, that meant debt and paranoia and many small failings that took root as we stood in front of judges and priests, our teeth crawling with till death. Gold light razors the plastic blinds. Don't we look so flawed, so lovely? Alone forever doesn't mean shit anymore. Tell me I didn't blow up my life for this means you get dark chocolate and a long hug. The food here is delicious, and we're all going to be fine. Here, no one cuts your face out of all the pictures. There are no pictures. We won't remember this place. Here, we redefine slut as person who survived. When we really hurt, they give us neon casts for all the broken promises. We sign them like yearbooks. The IVs drip wine. In the evenings, we play hearts and watch the sunset on the green and think, doesn't that look like an egg descending a blue tube of sky? One of us holds that sun on her tongue a while. She wants a child, but not her husband's child. Never her husband's child. Thank you. So I'm actually going to read one more, and Annie's going to come help me. This is an imagined dialogue between me and my mentor. Annie's my mentor today. House of Making. Why have we stopped building shrines?
The human body in grief is a shrine.
No, the human body is made almost entirely out of water.
The grieving body is limestone and sandstone and onyx.
When he died, I woke and knew. I had not seen him in years. I searched online. The first result, his eulogy.
The body in love is made entirely of water.
I spent hours watching the radar, waiting for the pain to curl down as a wave.
The body in death is soil and dust and flame.
What was I waiting for? An answer? An explanation?
When we lose someone young, we want something to build.
The body in grief is mortar and brick and sweat.
When the shrine is built and the buildings are empty, we long for another body.
The body in desire is vein and gall and pen and paper.
You want to know why he left the earth.
I want to know why I should stay. A physicist has killed a yeast cell, amplified its sounds. Listen, many hands clapping. Cicadas, the sound of wings.
The sound of one cell dying and the earth's answering.
The music of one death, all the world continuing.
Yes, the sound of the body in prayer is made entirely of water.
Yes, it is made of yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Annie.